Father, Lord God, I just pray that you meet us in our worship. I pray, Father, that with whatever we're going through right now, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you just help us understand how much love that you have for us, Lord. And how you want to guide us and you want to lead us, and all we have to do is stop listening to ourselves. Help us to do that today, Lord. Start making life decisions, Father. I pray, Lord, that they do realize and instill in them, Lord God, that Jesus is the only way. That's how they're going to have strength. That's how they're going to make decisions on everything, Father. When you lead them to their spouse, when you lead them to their job, Father, when you lead them to tough decisions, Lord, have them cry out the name of Jesus for all of those, Father, and help them to learn that at a young age, Lord.
Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you.
Father, help us to have that desire, Lord. Help us not just to sing these songs, Lord God, but we ask you, Father, just to help them mean something genuine, Lord. We pray, Father, that you guide us, Lord God. We pray that you lead us, Father. Even when we step foot out of this building today, Lord, we're going to be put in so many different situations, Lord God, how we're supposed to speak to others, Father. Let's say someone really gets under your skin. Father, lead me. Help me to love them. Help me to have the right words. Help me to have words of life and truth. Father, if someone cuts me off when I'm driving, help me to have self-control not to get angry. I really do mean that. Father, when I go back to work Monday, whatever my job may be, Lord, I pray that I do it unto you, Father. Not for anyone else, not even just for my boss, Father, but for I'm doing it for you, Lord. Everything, parenting, Lord, taking care of my children, Lord, help me to do that, to honor you, Father. Whether it's cooking or cleaning or mowing the lawn or just even cleaning toilets, Father, everything that we do, Lord, help us to be above reproach and say, I did the best that I could. I did it for my Lord.
Who is this king? ourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow to those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Father, we just pray that we are able to surrender today, Father, and just ask you to take over. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us, Lord. Less of me and more of you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Love that song.
Don't you?
Well, I'm glad you're here.
So are we.
So I used to work.
Hello.
Well, before we get started, before we get started, help Lord. Amen. Well, hey Jordan, by any chance, do we have that that one picture of the baptism group? No, not me. Just not saved. Okay, we'll do that next week. So, a bunch of people didn't see the since it's still summer, a bunch of people didn't see the baptism picture. So, I was just going to show one of them, the group picture, so that we could all just remember to pray for those folks. But we'll bring that up next week. But Gary, you're around here somewhere. Come on up, Gary. A month or two ago, Gary had said that he felt like the Lord was putting a message on his heart. And so normally what we do, for those of you who don't know, is we go through books of the Bible. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that everybody can understand what the Word of God means in context. And so we just finished with the book of Jonah. And, you know, if you remember where we left off in Jonah, we had Jonah, who was unfortunately doing something that I see a lot of Christians doing today, which kind of breaks my heart a little bit. You remember what Jonah was doing at the end of the chapter, if you were here, after he has preached the message, after God's used him mightily. We had Jonah up there, and Jonah was sitting up on a hill, and instead of rejoicing for what God has done, instead of all these people repented, if you remember, the whole city of Nineveh repented at the preaching, and it was an amazing time. But instead of Jonah being in the city, getting his hands dirty, discipling, blessing, encouraging, working, what was he up on the outside of the hill doing? He was pouting. He was complaining. He was just watching. He was just waiting. You know, kind of like he wants it a certain way. And I've watched many, many Christian folks. They want something just a little certain way. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to have my devotional, and I just want to have my little coffee and my little muffin, and I want to serve the Lord. Yay, Jesus! Can I tell you something? God is so great. If you have your little coffee and your muffin and your Panera, as I do it, you know, those times are nice, okay? They're really nice, and praise God for that. But God wants us to be working and serving Him. That's the thing. Poor Jonah was filled with anger and bitterness, and he is up on the hillside. When I look, sadly, I take off my glasses.
Don't say it.
I didn't say it. My mature eyes.
Thank you.
And I just look, and Jonah's just more concerned about being comfortable. You know, as that plant's growing over him, you remember? Mm-hmm. He just wants to be comfy. He just wants to be cozy. He just wants to be, you know, instead of caring about the people. Folks, there's so much work that needs to be done. People need Jesus. People need to be discipled. There's so much. If you don't know where to serve or how to serve, you know, women's ministry, for example, needs you. The children's ministry, that's where we need you. There are people there. We want to fill those kids' hearts with Jesus. You know, the school, I mean, you know, I'm going to talk 1 minute. Some of you might notice this shirt here. We have a little school, Shepherd's Heart Christian School. We're kind of like a homeschool school, and it's loving Jesus, loving learning, and loving families. You know, I can honestly tell you, it's no one is there for the money. But we there's so many people serving. There's about 7 people from our church serving here during the week, and about 3 from other churches that are serving. And there's just so many areas where people need to be discipled. We have new folks in Christ. people getting baptized. We've got a few more people that want to be baptized in the next few weeks. Even during this prayer meeting, I was so excited to see, you know, just the faithfulness of the Lord. And you know, what's that one guy? What's that one guy on TV? Was his name Tony Evans? Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He used to talk like that. He was all excited. Okay. Now, Gary is not a Tony Evans. But you know what? One thing is, he does love the Lord. He loves Jesus. And he wants him to be known. He wants people to be discipled and encouraged and blessed. And so just from him coming in, pretty much it started with one or two people, and I, you know, just prayer every Sunday. And I watched, and there was like a dozen people praying. And then somebody even rededicated their Lord this morning, themselves to the Lord this morning. You know, I just love that. I don't love that. So, you know, all I want to say is, don't be like a Jonah, where you're spending your time watching, criticizing, judging those people, if only. Get out of your comfort zone. Just be faithful. Don't be watching. Be working. Don't be comfy cozy. Be concerned. Be caring. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Gary, I'm just going to pray for you. And normally we have a bunch of cool slides for you. But we don't this week. We'll have them next week. Or we might have some cool slides. But this week, just so you know, we have, so I don't forget, we have a Wednesday's youth group. And then what else? Anything else? I'm trying to remember. Thursday night barbecue and Bible study, if you want to come out for Bible study in the Old Testament. And so I think that's. So let's pray for Gary. Father, we just thank you for Gary, Lord. We just thank you for him being faithful, Lord. You just choose to use weak things like all of us, Lord, just to confound the wise, Lord. And I ask right now, Lord, I know Gary is stepping out of his comfort zone, Lord God, and getting up here and teaching your message, Lord, but I know it's a message that you've put on his heart. So I ask you in Jesus' name that you would give him courage, that you would give him supernatural sight, Lord, that you would give him the words, that you would anoint his tongue again in the name of Jesus Christ to speak whatever word you have for us. And I pray even more so, Lord, that you would give us listening ears to whatever your Holy Spirit has to say to us, Lord God. That you would light that fire in our hearts, Lord God. That you would help us to be like Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, prepare all of our hearts to receive whatever your word says, and give us understanding by your Holy Spirit. We just pray all these things that you would bless this time, Lord, that we may grow closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Yes, I will.
Make sure it's close to his mouth there, Darren.
Why do you command, George? All right, we might need to bend this a little bit today since the real bike Nate just got for us. Him and his family are out this Sunday, but he usually does this. Just make sure it's near your mouth, and you might have to adjust it.
Okay. Let's see. Everybody will need a Bible if you don't have
that's
one ready.
That's way too far away.
Way too far away. Okay, Christy, I'm you. Guess that Bible's going to hang in need it. How's that? That better, George?
Little more.
A little more, okay.
Try to get it to rest up against your cheek if you can.
Yeah, I know. I could eat it.
Yeah. I just think of it as a grape.
Okay, here. If put the stuff on it that doesn't taste good. I need a microphone carrier. I have a young person volunteering to be on microphone carrier. Come on, Kayla.
Yeah.
All right, Elijah, you want to bail out your sister and be our mic carrier?
Okay.
So when somebody has somebody's going to speak, just bring it to them.
Love the introduction. He's not Tony Evans. Let's see. Turn to. We're going to cover two. George, we have a screen. We're going to cover two passages. And while you turn to Psalm 139, I want to tell you a story. And some of you heard this story before. Back 25 years ago, I was working for a mainframe computer manufacturer. And I was the manager for production inventory control. I had 27 people working with me to accomplish that. But it was a tough time in that business. And over about a four-year period, my staff went from 23 to 7. And that, so just about every quarter, I was telling somebody that they no longer had a job and walking out the door and cleaning up their desk. So it was a pretty tough environment. To make it even more interesting, the man I worked for was probably one of the most despicable people I've ever met in my life. He used to check his forehead for 666 periodically. It's only partially kidding. He couldn't say two sentences without cursing. He'd blow up in staff meetings, throw magic markers at people. Just a horrible human being. I had two kids and didn't work. Occasionally, I would get calls from headhunters. You know, people with jobs, they say, hey, you know, there's a job over here. You'd be perfect for it. I can have an interview in 2 days if you're interested. And I'd say, well, let me think about it. Call you back. Well, when I said, let me think about it, what I meant was let me go home and pray about it. And the answer was from the Lord was, no, I want you here. I said, Lord, this stinks. I hate it here. You know, it's hard to have any kind of a witness here. You know, that's what you want me to do. And I was obedient, so I stayed. And that's not to my credit. I think I was more afraid to be disobedient than willing to be obedient. That's the honest truth. Well, the Lord had a plan. In 95, I started a side business. And the Lord turned it into something that I hadn't planned it to be. He helped me there. The exact time the internet was starting, so I could start an email newsletter and a website. And that right when the internet was starting, he had put in my life various experiences so I could do exactly what I was doing at that time. And that, and I wish I'd known then what I know now. And that, so today, I want to talk about, you know, what happens when life gets tough. When you face some of those crisis situations in your life. And thus the title, Help Lord. Outside of the prayer when I first accepted the Lord as my Savior, this is probably the most useful prayer in my arsenal. Help Lord. Let's take a look at Psalm 138. And we're going to do it pretty much verse by verse.
Turn the switch on the side.
Turn the switch on the side. Here we go. Verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I was struck by the fact that it's a little g god. But what is a little g god? Well, a little g god, I think, is anything that we raise in our minds, in our hearts, and that takes control to some part of our life. And what are some of those little g gods? Now, well, you know, it can be sickness. You know, this morning we were praying for a young lady who was a burn accident victim the other night. And she's facing 6 to 8 months from what the doctors say. had a horrible accident. I know other people here facing various illnesses. There's addictions, some more serious than others. Financial troubles, relationship issues, work-related problems like mine, world events. And there's all kinds of things that we raise to God. They start taking over our mind. And yet, what is David? The first thing that David does, right, is, I will praise you, O Lord. It's interesting, if you look at the life of David, which is what the men's group has been doing for the last, seems like forever. I figured I'd say that so nobody else did. You look at the life of David, right? Here was a man who knew trouble, who knew crises, right? He was pursued by Paul, who wanted to kill him. He fought all kinds of foreign enemies. He was caught in adultery. He murdered someone, or had someone murdered. And then his children killed each other, raped each other. One started a rebellion. David's been through some battles, so it's appropriate for him to talk about this subject. So, before we go any further, I'd like to have you join me in prayer for a moment. Ask the Lord, are there any gods in my life that He wants me to focus on today? And so let me do that. Lord, you know each and every person here. And so, Father, I ask if there are any little g gods in your life, would you bring them to mind now, Lord, so that they may focus, so that we may focus on what you would have us do to deal with that little g god. Thank you, Lord, in the name of our Savior Jesus. The first thing that David does is turn to the Lord. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The first thing David did was recognize that his help comes from the Lord. He didn't let the problem dominate him. He turned to the Lord. And anytime we run into a crisis situation, any of the issues that we talked about, or the Lord brought to your heart now, brought to your mind, our first step should be back to the Lord. But in this world, it's tempting to turn to Dr. Phil, your BFF, Twitter, Google, the guys at work, the people you have lunch with, your sister, your brother. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk to those people, but the first place you should look to is the Lord. Even in trouble, give thanks to Him. It's especially important to give thanks to Him. And why is that? I hear a couple of like, yeah. Why is that?
I think it boils down to the fact that when we meditate on His Word, that He's creator of all things and that He made,
Thanks,
Lord. I've been meditating a lot on the fact that He created everything. Everything. Yeah. And I can't barely, I can make a meal and that exhausts me. And He can create worlds. So when we meditate on His power and His intention towards us, it's always good. Mm-hmm. We can trust Him. And when bad things happen, and we trust Him, then we can say, okay, I don't understand this, but you are in control of all things, therefore I don't have to stress out about this. You've got something, you're taking control of it,
Exactly.
It's a lot of rest.
Yeah. Well, I think, the way some people put it is we shouldn't be concerned with how big our problem is. We should be thankful for how big our God is. Right? And being thankful reminds us of that. David talks about the Lord. Praise your name. For your love and faithfulness, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. That last phrase is critical. Your name and your word. And in these times when we face hardship, there are two places that we need to turn. When I say turn to the Lord, I mean that means turn to the Word. Make sure you're spending time and the Word. Now, if you're used to spending a half hour a day, maybe it's time to spend two. I forget which one of the guys from old, the saints, said, he said, every time his schedule got too busy, he added an hour to his prayer time. He didn't subtract, he added. Because that was how he got through it. You need to spend time with the Word, you need to spend time with prayer. Basically, you need to spend time with the Creator. The name, and I think we've talked about it, most of us know it, but, when it talks about the Lord exalting his name, his name is who he is. That's a way of describing his characteristics, right? And in case, this is a reminder, right? The Lord tells us what his name means in Exodus 34:6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. The Lord will exalt his name. These circumstances will be used to exalt his name. Can anyone recall examples where the Lord used circumstances to exalt his name? I mean, I know some, and I can't, I don't want to share them because of privacy. But Neil, yeah.
Lazarus
mm-hmm.
died. He purposefully stayed a couple extra days at the city he was at. And then he says it himself that his name would be glorified.
Yeah, you're saying, you're jumping ahead. That's where we're going.
Sorry.
No. How about personal situations, though? The story that I told you to start. Yeah.
I'm new, but
yeah, sure.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
You'll fit right in.
this idea of praising God when you're in trouble and thanking Him, remembering. I was thinking of that old song we used to sing when I was a kid, Count Your Blessings, mm-hmm. Name them one by one.
Yeah.
And God does things sometimes, and I promise I'll never forget this. Mm-hmm. And of course, the next day I forgot. And then I heard someone say in a sermon, I don't know where it was, that a grateful person, a person who's thankful, never goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, no wonder I'm a little bit nuts. So, just the idea of thinking specifically, and when you were talking, I was thinking back a few years ago, I was doing some work, I was digging a trench, or electrical wire with a big pickaxe, mm-hmm. and this little kid next door came over and was just watching me. I didn't realize it got close, and when I came down, I just nicked his head slightly with this sharp pickaxe.
Wow.
And I sat down weeping and said, God Almighty, thank you. You truly send guardian angels to protect if I had killed this child. And he was just curious and getting in the way. I told him to stay back, but, etc. And, but being seeing God affirm himself and prove himself in something, and if I can just keep remembering it when I'm in a bad time, then I'm looking to Him. And
yeah.
He's glorified.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thankfulness.
Wow.
Verse 3, when I called you, answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Our strength comes from the Lord. That's where our strength comes from. It's, I was raised in a generation where, real men didn't cry. Our hero was, either John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. Man up. In these situations, the truth is that we're not, for the most part, we're not able to handle them. We need the Lord to handle them for us. We need the Lord to handle them for us. And fortunately, He does make us bold. He does make us stout-hearted. He makes us brave of heart.
I think I think about the times when. Oh, sorry, microphone.
Where's the word of mic though?
I just think about, and I don't know if you guys have had this happen ever, but. I just think about the times. There are some times when I just think about In fact, there's not some. There's been hundreds of times where I've thought to myself, Lord, I can't do blank. I can't go to this meeting. I can't go to this next day. I can't get through this situation. I mean, literally. And you know, when you repeat both those things, you made me bold and stout hearted. And I stop and I say, Lord, I want to run. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You just want to shut down, you know, turn the power off, run away. You know, too often. But yet, when I say, Lord, what do you want? And he tells me what he wants. Then as I trust in him, he gives me the strength. He's my strength. He's my refuge. He's my ever-present help in times of trouble. And all those other, like you were saying, little g gods that I learned to trust in or, you know, shut down on. Or, yes, whatever. Go away. And so, you know, and then what I also found out is just what you're saying here is, as I step through and as I trust him and as he comes through for me again, like, and of course I think, gosh, haven't I learned my lesson yet? But then his name is always glorified. God ministers, God's works, I'm encouraged, they're encouraged. It's just what you're saying. It's just trusting in him, praising in him, praising him, even in the midst of it.
Yeah, now, let's bring it back to Jen. Give the mic to Jen, please.
Thank you.
And then Carl after that.
Okay. That last line up there, focus on the Lord, not the trouble. I keep kind of hearing something similar in a lot of things people are saying. Like when we're focused on the trouble, our vision gets very distorted.
Yes.
And when we focus on God, we begin to see things clearly and gain perspective.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen.
Yeah.
Carl?
Yeah. Carl?
Just a thought that occurred to me. You know, a lot of times in our troubles, the Lord takes care of it for us. And when he does, it's real easy to praise him and say, oh, the Lord is working here. But as a warning to me, as well as anybody, sometimes he takes care of a problem through us. And then the warning is, I can very easily stand up and say, oh, look what I've done. Mm-hmm. Instead of what the Lord might come through me and keep my eyes from where it came from.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. To me, when that happens, we're not really, we're stealing from ourselves, not the Lord. You know, we think we're taking credit for it, but we're losing our power source when we do that. Mm-hmm. We're only hurting ourselves.
You'd asked before of an example.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the fact that when we have troubles come, a lot of times afterwards we can look back and see that we were actually better off going through the trial and coming out with God's help than our life was before the trial came.
Yes.
Which, in the beginning of the trial, we never think that.
That's true.
We're never like, oh, I'm about to have an improvement here.
Yeah.
So just an example of this, like how we built our faith through the trials. We had a business, and there was suddenly, you know, a large amount of money that was needed right then. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we don't have this money, we don't have a way to make this money come, so of course, whenever we're in a place where we can't save ourselves, we turn to the Lord. It's a kind of a natural thing. So, you know, we prayed about it, but sometimes I don't really have a lot of faith in the things I ask for, because I'm like, I know God says no sometimes. So we prayed about it, and then we just went about our business, and it was like that day or the next day, somebody came in and spent like $8,000 on two pieces, which was like about the money that we needed. And that's not normal for our business. Mm-hmm. Like that was probably the largest sale in like 10 years.
Yeah, dance day.
So it's beyond like, oh, what a coincidence. Like, no, God was providing for us, so it strengthened our faith. So even though when it came, it was terror. And like, oh God, what are we going to do? And like, distrust, like, he's not really going to see us through. And then he did, miraculously. So we ended up being stronger in our faith and seeing that God's even using our business
you know, to increase faith, and then when he increases our faith, we can share that with others, increase theirs.
Yeah, that's a good summary for today's message. So let's go to verse 4. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. And this is what Rebecca was just saying. You know, when the Lord does these things in our life, we have a testimony that we should share. And the kings won't know about the Lord's grace, won't know about the Lord's favor. You know, we need to share that. You know, we need to be bold. We need to say where he's changed things in our lives. Verse 6, even though the Lord is on high, he looks down upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. You think about it, you know, there's times, some of the guys we joke about is that, you know, I need to wrap my head in duct tape so it doesn't explode. In that. But, you know, it's hard to understand that God can create, speak the universe into existence, can care about, you know, my work-related problem or my illness or, you know, the trouble one of my children is having. And he does. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But I know that he does because I've seen it. I don't have to take it by faith. I've seen it. I believe that most of you have seen it at one time or another in your life, too. And that where he's taken concern in your individual issues. But the proud he knows from afar. You know, when I think I'm going to solve the problem all on my own, that's pride. When I take credit, like Carl talked about, when I take credit for the solution, that's pride. I don't know about you. I'd rather God knows me from up close than from afar. I want to get as close to him as I can. I don't want to be far from him. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. When we're in trouble, we tend to focus on the problem. And distress tends to drain our life. That's why so many people are taking medications for high blood pressure and anxiety and opioids and all kinds of stuff. And we know how that all works out. The answer isn't always exactly what we want. It isn't, you know, Rebecca's answer. It was, you know, a blessing that the Lord brought that customer in. But sometimes there's an answer that you don't expect. Not the one we want. And yet, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Now, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident is that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to carry it on to completion. Now that may not look like what I think it looks like. You know, when I was struggling with this job for 4 years, I wanted out. That was my answer. Lord, get me out of here. And his answer. He had a better answer than mine. And that. Jim?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Nope.
I'm really going to test your patience. I'm not good with contractions. I was blessed to serve many years in missions work with Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. And I was in Bangladesh. I was speaking up in the north. I had to go back to Dhaka, capital city, for an appointment. I had a very important appointment with a lawyer down the south part. And I thought, oh, this is really an interrupt. I'm here to serve the Lord in this other place. I go down, and it totally escaped me that every year they have in northern Dhaka a big Muslim festival, psychedelic to the Hajj, called Eid Vishwas. And we flew down, the domestic airport is close to the national airport, And this thing had just ended with the closing prayer. This is over 2 million Muslims. And they're all worked up emotionally. They had this big session. Let's go out and let's get rid of the infidels. And I come out of the domestic airport and we're surrounded by all these people in white robes, these guys with beards going around. And I'm with a brother who is tribal. He looks like people from Tibet. And the Pope was with me, who had been brought up Buddhist, came to Christ. And I said, wow, what are we going to do? I just was like, wow, this isn't why I came to this country. And I mean, I'm not going to make it out of here. We thought this is the end. And he said, wait here, Brother Jim. I go, I come back. He comes back, and he said, he had this guy on a motorcycle with a little thing you ride in, with a big red checkered thing around his face, and missing most of his teeth. And he said, no problem. So we hop in, Brother Pogan and I, and we go. There's no roads available. There's buses are stacked with people. Everything is a traffic jam. And this is, you can't imagine so many people. And so this little motorcycle guy goes down through the crowds and through the trees, and he's going to get us down to southern Dhaka. And people were looking at us and turning their faces, and they're seeing this, you know, who is this weird guy with the big nose in our country? And then they see this other tribal guy, and here they're ready to get rid of infidels, and we're right there. So I'm thinking, I had this verse underlined, when I walk in the midst of trouble, I'm riding a motorcycle in the midst of trouble. And I thought, wow, just keep going. The people are slowing down when we go by and staring at us. All of a sudden, we hit a stop at a checkpoint. And the guard comes up, and the motorcycle conks out. I think it's probably from World War II anyway. And the people really start to slow down, and all these crowds are beginning to gather around us. And I'm thinking, this isn't why I came here. I came here to speak up north and try to win people to Christ. And then it was just like the Holy Spirit spoke. And that verse, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. We were a church of Jesus Christ, in the midst of the second largest Muslim gathering in the world. People live from all these Muslim countries. And I thought, hallelujah. He says, what, Brother Jim? I said, we're a church in the middle of this huge Muslim gathering who wants to get rid of infidels. And I was thinking how, you know, before the gods, before this false god, here we are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I said, let's pray quickly, very quickly. And we prayed, and the motorcycle started, and away we went.
Wow.
But in the midst of the trouble, God revives us. And he has a different plan, right?
Yep.
I just was thinking, he has a different plan than what we have, our agendas. Mm-hmm. And it's not always comfortable. And whatever he wants to do with it, he will be glorified.
Well, let's
wow! Yeah,
great story. And you know, I hate the word when we talk about Bible story. I don't like that.
And that stories, right? Truths.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yes. Forgive me. But let's follow up with that. Let's go to John 11. And you didn't let us there. We all know this passage, and yet, you know, we're taken by the fact that Lazarus is raised from the dead. But what's always fascinated me about this passage, and because of time, I'm not going to read it. Okay, we'll touch pieces of it as we go. I was always fascinated by the fact that when Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, he didn't do something about it. Right? You tell me my friend is sick and I can do something about it, you go right away. And Jesus intentionally waits. Well, let's take a look at this passage with that in mind. One other thing is there's, you know, besides Jesus, there's three main characters in this story. Obviously Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And so you might want to put yourself in the shoes of one of those three characters if you take a look at the passage, right? And at beginning with verse 1, what we're answering here is what happens when the Lord doesn't answer us right away, when our answer is immediate. Because that happens.
Not his timing.
Verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." They were smart. The first thing they did, turned to Jesus. Notice, they appealed to Jesus' love for Lazarus. They didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, Lazarus, the guy who served you, and that he's the one that said, not enough." They appealed to Jesus' love for Lazarus, which is a lesson for me. Because if I go to the Lord, the enemy's going to say, "Well, you're not worthy of the Lord's attention. Why would he care about, you know, an idiot like you?" And you'd be right. And the Lord cares for an idiot like me because of who the Lord is, not because of who I am. His response is dependent on his love, not my love for him or what I've done. And it's always sufficient. Notice, too, they don't bring a solution to the Lord. They go to the Lord and they say, "Lazarus is sick. How often do I face a problem? And Lord, here's the answer. Will you implement it for me, please?" Yeah, really, it is laughable, isn't it? That would be my response. Verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Baffling. Why would he do that? He points out that, and this is important, I think this is one of the keynotes to the whole passage, is that it was for God's glory. These things in our lives, at the hard places, the places when, you know, we're facing a terminal illness or, you know, a really bad situation, a relationship, whatever, in that. They're for God's glory. They work for his glory. Jesus says he waited because he loved them. Verse 7, then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend..." Let me stop there. Jesus could have healed Lazarus from a distance. He didn't have to go. You know, they were ready. They were waiting to kill him. And that, you know, Jesus healed the centurion's daughter, I remember, right? Right? By saying, he didn't even say, "Be healed." He said, "Your daughter has been healed." Son, I'm sorry. Right where he was. So Jesus didn't need to go to Lazarus to heal Lazarus. And yet he chose to go there. He chose to go there. You know, I'm lazy. And I think probably I'm not the only one here, taking a guess. There's times when there's something good I could do, and maybe I don't because I'm too lazy to do it. Our Lord isn't like that. It's never too hard for him to do. It's never too inconvenient for him to do. It's never untimely for him to do what we need to do. Verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus has been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, so that we may die with him. I often misunderstand the problem. I have a crisis in my life, and I misunderstand what the problem is or what the real solution is. That never happens with the Lord. He knows what the problem is. These guys, well, if you sleep, that's good for them. That'll help heal them up. I kind of wonder whether he's going to use schmucks. I'm convinced the disciples weren't a whole lot brighter than we are. Jesus knows the whole story, even if you don't. Take a look at verse 15. For your sake, I am glad I was not there. For your sake, I was glad I was not there. That's an astounding thing for Jesus to say. Right? I could have been there and I could have touched Lazarus, but I was glad for your sake that I wasn't there. So that you may believe. That's why. The thing that's important for all of these crises in our lives is that we believe. That we get to see the glory of God and that we believe is to drive us. He pulls us towards him. He pulls us towards him. It's almost as if Jesus' love, his glory, it's like some kind of a spiritual magnetism. It pulls us towards him. I don't know about you. I have to think hard before I recognize the spiritual crisis is. For spiritual exercise. Right? You know, if we want to get physically fit, we need to exercise. If we want to get spiritually fit, I'm afraid that we have to go through crises. We have to come to the Lord that way. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and the many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, was to come into the world. There's a reason Jesus waited until the fourth day. A biblical time Jew believed that the spirit stayed with the body for the first 3 days after death. But only on the fourth day did it go where it was supposed to go. So they would have believed, the first 3 days, Jews would have believed, you know, it would have been easy for Mary and Martha to believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. By the fourth day, they wouldn't have believed that this would be possible. In verse 20, Martha breaks customs. Customs for the Jews, still today, if a relative dies, they mourn for a set period of time. In the first 7 days, is a mourning time inside the home. And friends, relatives will come sit with them. And that's supposed to be the main thing for them. You know, people will bring bring food so that they don't have to cook or do housework kind of things. And that Martha, right? You got to remember, this is the Martha that, you know, when she and Mary were entertaining Jesus, she said, "Hey, I'm doing all the cooking. Mary's just lounging around here." He said, Martha was the doer. Right? And that when she hears that Jesus was coming, she broke custom and ran to Jesus. You know, when we face problems, a lot of times we'll depend on customs. We'll depend on habits, what the world thinks we should do to solve the problem. That's not always the right answer. In fact, the right answer is to go to Jesus. Verse 21, if you had been there, you ever said that to the Lord? If you'd been watching over me, this wouldn't have happened. Jim's situation, right? If you'd have protected this kid, right, the pick wouldn't have hit the kid. Right? Have we ever said something like that? Or, if you cared, you cared for me, this wouldn't have happened. I had to ask you, whose voice do you think that is? Just putting that in your mind. Yeah, it's the enemy. It's the enemy. Verse 22. Our faith is tested when we can't see the solution to our problems. If I can see a solution, my faith isn't tested that much because I can figure it out. I'm a good engineer. I'm not an engineer, but I'm a good fixer. Well, I like fixing stuff. But when I can't see the answer, that's why I spend more time amazed at the power of Jesus and the glory of the Lord. You know, it's true that these things can be hard and they can hurt. You know, I imagine at this time Mary and Martha, they were mourning the loss of their brother. Very sad time for them. And sometimes going through these things, they're not easy. They're painful. They're hard. They cause us to groan inside. Verse 24, Martha comes at it from a theological point of view. And we do that often ourselves, I think. It's like, can I understand it? You know, Lord, here's a problem. And then I want to find an answer in Scripture, but I'm looking for some deep theology. When Jesus just wants to meet us where we are, right? He wants to simplify things for us. I think Jesus knows that there's only so much complication we can handle. You know, that if it's too complicated, he doesn't get it. It's just, you know, he knows that. And so it's like, okay, here's what you need to know. I love you. I'm the resurrection. I am the life. Okay. You get that. If you get that, the rest will fall into place. Verse 28. Before we go on to in verse 26, death is not the end. Death is not the end. We need to remember that. You know, we think that, you know, if we pray for somebody for a physical healing, you know, and they die, that it's the end. It's not the end. They've gone to a better place. You know, we need to keep these things. We need to keep a heavenly perspective in mind. This earth is not all there is. You know, we're spiritual beings trapped in physical bodies for a short period of time. And unfortunately, these physical bodies don't last that long. Verse 28. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, Notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how you love him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. When we hurt, Jesus hurts too. I know that for a fact. I've seen it. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, I've been blessed to be with people. I'm praying with them when they're hurting. And Jesus hurts with them. He hurts with us when we hurt. And the Greek words here, said that he was deeply moved. The Greek words actually mean that it was like a groaning, a deep down, a heartfelt emotion. That's how Jesus feels. The Lord heard him. He gets to see his children. Verse 35. Jesus loves us every bit as much as he loves Mary. He'll respond to Mary. He's going to respond to Natalie, Laura, Joel. He's going to respond to any of us. He loves us all. Verse 35, Jesus wept. A lot of discussion about what Jesus was weeping about. Was he weeping because Lazarus had died? Was he weeping because Mary and Martha were hurting so much in their mourning? Perhaps he was weeping because he knew he was going to pull Lazarus back from heaven. Yes, if I was Lazarus, I'm not sure I'm really happy about that trip, Dick. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer. Maybe Jesus weeps for all of us at different times for different reasons. Maybe there's times he weeps for us when we're dying in sin. He weeps for us. When we mourn because of our sin or the sin of someone else, he weeps for us. When he knows the trouble that we face here on earth that we won't face in heaven, he weeps for us.
Maybe it's weeping because of her unbelief.
Could be. Thank you, Natalie. Yeah. And I'm sure he weeps for our unbelief too.
It could have been. He loved Lazarus so much.
Verse 37. Notice how non-believers watch. They watch our troubles to see how we respond and to see whether the Lord will respond. He does. He does. Yeah. We will need a microphone. We will need.
Can you speak up just a little bit, Gary?
I'll try, yeah. Yeah, it sounds loud to me, George, but it's not loud back there?
I can hear.
Okay.
Some people back here have a little difficulty hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll try to be louder. But Heidi, you definitely need to be louder, please.
Back in verse 34, when it says, Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" Why do you think Jesus asked that? He knew.
I guess I had not thought about that. I don't know. Why do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Let's turn to the pastor.
We're all under the bus.
The tears go on.
No.
I think he wanted, if I had to guess here, this is just off the top of my head, but you're right, Jesus knows the answers to these questions before he asks them. And I think he wanted them to point out where Lazarus was. He wanted them to say he's in the tomb. Yeah, he wanted them to be reminded. He's dead. He's in the tomb. We've rolled a stone in front of the tomb. We plan on coming back in a year and putting his bones in the ossuary.
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah, basically, he wanted them to go, game over. I think that's probably why, but I discussed it off the top of my head. And it's interesting. I didn't hear, in the study, I didn't hear it mentioned anywhere.
Maybe he wanted the other people to follow.
Could be.
The observers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
bring them right to the grave.
Yeah, you would think, though, that it would be natural for them to do that, to follow. You see Mary and Martha running towards, towards the grave site, the tomb. You would think that if you were mourning with the family, it would be natural to follow, I would think.
No, follow for the fact that Jesus was there. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute, what's this dude going to do now?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think they definitely wanted to see what he was going to do. Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was the tomb with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. First, this was not a near-death experience. This was something beyond that. The Lord delayed to show Mary, Martha, the people around, his goodness, his glory, so that they would believe in him more in the future. Verse 39, he tells them to take away the stone. Often, when we're facing these crises, the Lord's going to tell us to do something. We have a choice whether we want to be obedient or not. And you can be obedient because you're a good Christian and a good soldier, or you can be obedient because, like me, you were afraid to be disobedient. But in either case, it's important that you be obedient to what the Lord tells you in this time of trouble. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there is a bad odor. Mm-hmm. King James has it. By this time he's stinking.
Yeah.
Right? Which I think is great. Yeah. The most entertaining verses in the Bible. By this time he's stinking. You know, but there's something for us there too, though. You know, our sin, where does our sin lead? It leads to death. And our sin stinketh. Quite honestly.
It
here, it's always the but Lord is when he's telling us to do something. That's the sin. We're not trusting him. But Lord.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but there's times too when the Lord tells us to roll away the stone from our sin, and we go, "Oh no, Lord, that's too ugly. I don't want you to see that. I'm going to keep this hidden. I'm going to hide it behind this stone. I'm not going to let you see it. I'm not going to let you come in and do anything with it." And the truth there is that it's not that the Lord doesn't want to look at it. It's that I don't want to look at it. That's really where the truth is. Verse 40. If you believed, you would see the glory of God. If you believed, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Jesus reminds them that he's praying, not because the Lord needs to hear. He's praying because the people need to hear. You know, and I think sometimes that's true too. When I pray, the Lord already knows my mind. Sometimes I think it's more important for me to hear my prayer than the Lord to hear my prayer, because he already knows my prayer. It's important for me to verbalize it so that I understand it, take ownership of it, can change it if it's wrong, and it happens quite often. It's like, no, Lord, I didn't mean that. Let me go back and revise. We're going to do a prayer 2.0. Lazarus come out. And so the dead man came out. Yeah. Give your brother the microphone.
from Mr. Martin's teaching a little back, he said that if Jesus would have said, "Come forth," everything would have, all of everything from that tomb would have just come forth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely true. So what do we take away? How does this change our lives? You know, I mean, right, if Scripture is, you know, a living word, it needs to change our lives. Okay, so how do these two chapters change our lives, Mark?
Well, in verse 8 of Psalm 38, says, "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me." Doesn't say I'm going to do it. Doesn't say my effort's going to do it. No matter how hard I try or whatever. It says the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Now if we go to John, and Martha says, Martha therefore said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's true. Very true. But if he had been there, verse 42 would not have been able to be accomplished, which says, "And I knew that thou heard me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me." Our trials, our tribulations, our difficulties, our woe is me's are not about us. It's about those around us so that they may believe that God sent Jesus so that he could accomplish through us what needs to be accomplished to glorify him.
Amen. Amen. And to go along with that, though, for those of us like me who are a little bit selfish, and that Mary and Martha, actually, head back toward the court. Mary and Martha, you can't believe me to tell me that their faith wasn't stronger after this event than before. Was there pain? Yeah, there was pain. Was there sorrow? Yeah, was there sorrow. And then, well, was their faith grown?
Can you hear me? Okay. This incident that I see right here, okay, has an ongoing conclusion to it. And one of the things that we're looking at here, when we're looking at the scripture here, we're not seeing that what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. In the very near future, these very same people that Jesus has done this wonderful miracle around and let them know that he truly is the Son of God and raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, this was a miracle that they could not deny. And he let him stay there in the tomb so that there was no doubt on the fact that he was really dead. And so he raised him from the dead. But here we see this situation where a couple days later, these very same people are going to be throwing palm branches down before him and declaring to him and to others, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They are going to be hailing him as the Messiah and the King that has come to Israel to save Israel. And so this was prophetic. This was something that was prophesied in the book of Daniel that had to occur. This had to occur. These people had to do that. Jesus had to drive right into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they had to declare him as the Messiah. Because it's all written in prophecy. Those days were actually numbered. From the time of the building of the wall to the day when he came into Jerusalem. So all this is all according to the prophetic plan of God. And so everything Jesus is doing here, he's doing for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it fits perfectly into his prophetic plan. And I think with us, we need to realize that we are a part of God's plan. And when something happens to us, whether it seems like a tragedy or whatever, we have to remember that God has a plan for this in our life. We may not know what it is, and these people didn't know at the time that Jesus was going to the cross in a week from then. Okay, but the point is that we do have to remember that's where our faith comes in, because if it's not a faith, then the Bible says it's sin. Anything that's not of faith is sin. So, you know, I look at this whole thing, and this whole issue is such a prophetic plan. That we look at God's perfect plan, and that's still unfolding for us right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Elijah, we'll see how fast you are getting the microphone up to your dad.
just real quick, and I know you're closing out, but I just wanted, there's a scripture verse as Mark was speaking, how it's just not about us, it's about glorifying the Lord, and how God has a purpose and plan with what he said. There's a scripture verse in 2 Corinthians, you know, and that says, when he's praising God, he says, who has comfort, this is in chapter 1, verse 4, yes. He says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So basically, all these things that we're going through, and you know, just as people are testifying what God has done, that is overflowing. God has come through for you. you didn't go through that trial, if you didn't go through that hard time, if you didn't get stuck in that whatever, and now you came out on the other side, now you can comfort tons of people. A lot of times I'm looking back at my life and I'm thinking, honestly, I think I went through a lot of that suffering and pain and desperation and hurt so that I could minister to others. It really wasn't about me at all. It was so I could minister Jesus to somebody else so he can work in and through me. So anyway, that's just, let's keep that eternal perspective in mind and the Jesus perspective in mind. And the purposes of God in mind.
Mm-hmm. Mary? Yes. Yeah, then I'll close now.
Just to glorify God's name, but when I was 16, my mom and my stepdad were going through a divorce, and she wanted to, she really wanted her marriage saved. She wanted my stepdad saved. Of course, he never did come to the Lord, but through that time, I stood with her in prayer, and I found scripture to pray over him, and the marriage wasn't saved. But 16 years later, Anthony and I were going through a hard time, and we separated for a time. And during that time, I just really dove into the Word and just wanted God to show me and what I needed to work on. But through that, I found the prayers that I had kept. And I prayed those over my husband and my stepson and my marriage. And so what he gave me 16 years earlier, it wasn't for that time. It was for that time, And so the answers weren't answered then, but they were answered later. And, we just have to be patient and trust. And don't ever get rid of those things.
Well, what are our, how does this change our lives? What are our takeaways? I think one of the first thoughts is that the solution isn't something, it's someone. Right? It's Jesus. That's the solution to the challenges. Sometimes it's hard to hear or see in a crisis. After the crucifixion, Mary didn't recognize Jesus because she was crying. Sometimes when we get into these crisis situations, it's hard for us to see or hear, and that these were so consumed by the events. And sometimes the Lord has a better answer than we do. In fact, I'd say this probably a majority of the time, maybe all the time.
Comes from Him. It's all good.
You guys get it. The Lord's timing is perfect. It's not my timing. My timing is microwave. It's like, you give us a problem, Lord, you got 45 seconds to solve it for me. And that's not what's going to happen. And that very evil.
He was talking about, how you question the Lord.
Uh-huh.
As everybody probably knows in here, I've already said it one couple of times. I was in a very abusive marriage for 11 years with my first husband. And I remember standing in my aunt's kitchen, a Southern Baptist woman,
uh-huh.
and saying, "Why did God make me go through that?"
Uh-huh.
And she swung around and she looked at me like I had done through the Bible at her. And she said, "He was with you. You walked away from your two children alive."
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me, he never leaves your side.
Yeah. I will never leave
you. No matter how bad it is, how difficult, he never leaves your side.
Yeah. In fact, I think the harder it is, the closer he is. Yeah. The Lord's plan for us is good. Let's close with a verse that we all know. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's all things. Even the things that are painful, even the things that we would prefer not to go through, He uses all things for our good. Yeah.
Thank you.
second. If you're dealing with something that's particularly hard, and you want somebody to pray with you, come on up afterwards. You know, grab Dan, grab me, grab somebody. You know, let's go to the Lord together. And that, don't try to carry it by yourself. There's no need for that. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. There was a reason. And we're stronger together. We're a body. And we're not lone rangers. Father, we thank you that we know your plans that you have for us are for good and not for evil. Lord. We thank you that you're faithful to complete the work that you began in us, Lord. We're thankful that we know that you're walking with us through the tough times in life. And your word says that in this world we will have trouble. So comforting knowing that you're there with us. Father, I ask that each and every one of us would have, I don't know, some type of warning light reminding us that we're hitting rough waters and we need to turn to you, Lord. We need to spend more time in your word, more time in prayer. We need to go to the Master. Father, I ask that you help us to be obedient so that you roll away the stone even if what's behind us stinks. Father, I thank you that you allow us to be with each other as we pray, that you allow us to learn from others' experiences, just like Pastor Darren mentioned. When one of us goes through something, we're then able to minister to others who are going through something similar later on. Lord, thank you for those people, for what they've gone through, so that they can help us through the situations. Lord, we just thank you for your love, for your grace, Father. It's hard for us to go much beyond that. We don't need to go beyond your love and your grace. Thank you. In the name of our Savior Jesus. Have a great week.